sometimes we don't have all the answers, but when we put the faith out there and we just keep that non-negotiable decision in our heart and keep taking what we do know, the next step we do know, every day we get a little closer. It's like a puzzle. Every day the puzzle gets a little more clear and the next step becomes clear.
If you're interested in how highly successful investors overcome limitations and become unstoppable forces of success, you're in the right place. The Conscious Investor Podcast features weekly conversations with real estate investing experts and delivers a Monday mindset episode to help launch your week with intention. If you believe success is for everyone willing to think, then do, these conversations will be your weekly rocket fuel. Conscious Investor, so grateful you are joining me again. I know you always hear me start the episode in that way, but it's true. I am always grateful to share space with you and to share conversations that are meaningful. Now, this is a mindset episode, and typically you just hear me talking about some insight that I've had on my mindset. But today I'm bringing on a really good friend of mine, and it's been so extraordinary watching her transformation. One of the elements that has absolutely astounded me, I met her. She's watched me transform also. It's been very interesting, right? We met when I was still a classroom public school teacher, and I was teaching her son, and they had just moved to the area, and her son kerplopped in my class. And I've watched her evolve from moving from states away and relocating her family into a dream life that she wanted, something that she envisioned for years, making that transition. And then almost this really interesting metamorphosis. That's the best way. You know how the butterfly has to wiggle, wiggle, wiggle to get out and break free to fly. I've watched her actually go through this metamorphosis in order to just empower and change the life that she's leading and how her family is oriented, everything about it. It's just been absolutely amazing. Now, you're wondering, that's really great. Hey, you know what? You know why. I know that you're resonating with that. I know that you're going through a lot of changes also, and that you're trying to figure things out, and you're trying to figure out what's the next best strategy for me. And sometimes in that process, we come across turbulence and it feels like fail. And it feels like struggle and hardship, and just be easier just to quit and just go back to however it was, right? And so if you're in that moment, especially, man, this conversation with Lindsay is just going to be wind in your sails. So I want to invite you into this amazing conversation. And I want to say thank you in advance for joining us. You're not a fly on the wall. You're part of this conversation. So remember, when you're finished listening, think about who else would benefit from this conversation. Who else is going through their own metamorphosis? And then as always, please make sure you leave a rating and review, because you know that's wind in my sails. We support each other like that. In fact, I got this really cool review recently from Eric Allen. It says, "Julie has an awesome show. She brings real conversation and intention to every episode. Very relatable and extremely helpful content for all people. I would highly," that's all caps, people, "recommend this show." So I just want to do a shout out. Thanks, Eric, so much. We're at 108 reviews. I am so impressed with you. And I'm so grateful for the time that you have taken to just let me know how these conversations are impacting your life. So I've been talking a lot. Let's go ahead and dive into the show. Lindsay, I am so grateful to have you here on The Conscious Investor. Welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here. This is going to be a great episode. I can feel it already.
It's been such an amazing opportunity to watch you transition. And when we didn't have a crystal ball, I didn't know that we would have a friendship all these years later. I think that's 4 years now. I didn't know that we would be good friends 4 years later. I didn't know we would be friends when I was teaching your son. And just to hear, even back then, you were giving me pieces in conversation. It was almost like I remember, and I was telling you off air, having a conversation with you in the classroom, and you guys had just moved from Arizona to Idaho. And I remember in that conversation, you were sharing me bits and pieces of the life that you wanted to cultivate and develop. And it was like, I can see you want to build something. Tell us just about that building process and some of the struggles and heartaches. I'm like, I feel like I could just hand the mic over to you. So yeah. I'll really take it from there.
Well, let me just say this. I remember that conversation. I knew then that I was going to be friends with you. I decided that because you are the caliber of woman that I would want in my life. And so I just thought, wow, what a blessing that my son is in her space. This is just so exciting. And I was very just like, I've got to get to know her more. That was my thought when I walked away from that. So I believe in the power of intention. And I do believe that we all get those whispers of things that are guiding us, right? Those guiding lights. And for me, it seems like my be transparent from the beginning, because that is my name of my game. I'm always transparent. My biggest hang up has been second guessing myself. And before we got deep into this conversation earlier, I was looking back over my whole journey, which, yet, like you said, it started in Arizona, and I'll tell my story here in a moment. But I can just see that the more defined I am about what I want, and making that a non-negotiable. And that sounds like such a cliche that so many people say it's a non-negotiable. But really, when you think about that mindset and you say to yourself, no, this is what I want, I will not settle for anything else, that is a terrifying place to be, especially if you're already in a very comfortable place, right? And that was my life. We have four kids, and I have been the primary income earner in my family for the last 15 years, all of my marriage. Working in the automotive industry, I was in upper management. So I had a very comfortable salary commission. It was a salary commission, but it was a consistent amount. I was a manager. I had a team of 30 people. I was in charge of marketing. I had worked myself up to a position where it was, not trying to toot my own horn here, but I want to paint the picture that they needed me. Like, I filled these roles. Everybody came to me for stuff, and I thrived on it. I enjoyed that. And prior to children, that was my dream, was to grow up in the car business and maybe one day own my own dealership. And that's the trajectory that I was on. Having kids, that changed everything, because as we all know, the automotive industry isn't very family friendly. I was at a dealership, however, that they gave me the ability to work my own schedule because they respected my experience, right? So I could work Monday through Friday. I didn't have to work weekends. I got that early morning, leave early. I could leave for kids stuff. I had all of the things that most people are working for in life, right? All of those good things. And yet I was still unsatisfied. And honestly, Julie, I felt so guilty about that. I felt guilty that I wasn't happier with the life I had. Why? I had a nice house. We lived in a nice area. I had very little debt. I had nothing to be upset about. And yet I was miserable. I felt like I was driving to a prison every day. And it's ironic because I look back and I think, why? That was just so good for you on the surface. And then you hear what a lot of like self-help gurus people say. They're like, you have to appreciate what you have in order to get more, right? Well, I struggled with that because I felt like I should. There's that ominous word that we all put that weight on ourselves, that I should feel better. I should be happy. I should be grateful. And whenever I wasn't, I just felt ashamed. And I guess I had a choice. I could have just continued living that life. And I did often ask myself, like, should I just suck it up, buttercup, and push on? Like, maybe that's what I need to be doing here. Think about my family. And I knew, though, and this is where I think that intuition came in, that if I would have kept working there, I would have died. Like, that was not an exaggeration. I told my husband, I said, I think this is silently killing me. The stress of the job, the unhappiness, the missing my children, they're being raised by a nanny. It was just all of these things was weighing on me and eating at me little by little. And I couldn't keep it going. It was just not going to work out.
I got to pause right there and just say, dang, conscious investor. I know a lot of you are in that situation where it's what we like to call the golden handcuffs, right? I mean, hey, what do we have to complain about? I mean, we have what we need. Our needs are being met. And we're very comfortable. It's not just that they're being met, but they're being met. And we're very comfortable with that. And those golden handcuffs hold us hostage. But internally, you might be feeling that same way that Lindsay's feeling, driving up to the corporate office, going into the tech shop, making one more marketing campaign for your client, like being aware about that. In fact, that's probably why you're listening to this podcast, is because your awareness is rising and it's really critical to listen to it. Thanks, Lindsay. I just wanted to bring our conscious investor on board.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's great. It is true. And I think admitting that is step one. You can't change if you're trying to stuff an unsavory meal down your face, you can either continue and suffer through it, or you can ask yourself, what is the alternative? And for me, that was living in a rural city. We had a dream of living in a log cabin in the woods. My husband and I kind of call it like our dream on the shelf. Okay. So the days that I was having a meltdown, something happened at work or I missed the kids or whatever, we would sit down and I pull this dream off the shelf, dust it off, and spend some time like ruminating over our cabin in the woods and what we would do and da da da. And it was a Band-Aid for a long time. It was just a peacekeeper that just gave me a little more wind in my sail to push me along a little farther. And then I would get back into that rut and nothing was really changing for years. We just kind of kept pulling this off the shelf. I call it the silent mommy promise. And I know dads probably do this too. But for me, it was like, okay, when my daughter is this age, then I will fill in the blank, right? When my son hits this age, I will be home more, blah, blah, blah. And I kept resetting this date.
So you lose that congruency. You lose trust with yourself when you do this.
Oh, that is true. Absolutely. I think it's one of the biggest reasons why I've struggled with self-doubt for so long is because I gave away my power, Julie. I was giving it to my husband, actually, not to get all personal, but I think this is important because I think part of the reason that I feel like we struggled was our marriage. It was a growth. Our marriage was going through growth. And by that, I mean, for example, we both wanted the log cabin in the woods, but we would both have a different idea on how to make that happen. We would often butt heads about it. And finally, I said, we both want the same thing. We just see a different way of getting there. And we're never getting anywhere because we're so stuck on these minor details, which in the end, God's deciding anyway. So why were we putting so much emphasis on it? But you're going through the motions and you're trying to figure it out. We weren't sure. How would we move if we don't have jobs and income? Who's going to even lend us any money for a house? How can you even get a rental? Like all of these questions were questions that we didn't have answers to. And yet we're still trying to put this all together and figure out this magical solution. And it wasn't coming together. Like our two brains were not making it happen. And that's why this kind of kept being this dream on the shelf, because we just couldn't seem to get it past that box that it was into reality, and everything was moving. Time moves so fast when you get back into working and dealing with kids and birthdays and Christmas. All of a sudden, the whole year went by and it's like, wow, another year. Here's my marker that I said, when this kid gets to this age and I'm still working this job, I'm still doing this, what is it really going to take? Like, how miserable do I have to get before I create change? And I mean, the reality is we don't have to get miserable. I think that's actually, just to take a quick side note, that's been on my mind lately. Why do we think we have to struggle in order to experience glory? I think that's a preconceived notion that we've taught ourselves. And it is no nobler to suffer. And there is no good that comes from it. Simply just accepting that we can make that change for ourselves and moving in that direction. I wish I would have known that sooner, because I feel like I even asked myself this just this week. I caught myself thinking I still had work to do, quote, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, but what? For who? For what? What are you trying to prove? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I have to prove that I deserve it. That was the answer I heard within myself. And it's like, deserve what? Mm-hmm. You already deserve it. Like, just accept it. Just receive it. Man, that is a struggle. That is a mindset struggle to this day I work on. And all those years, like I said, I wish I would have known that a little sooner, because I think it would have helped move things along a little more quickly. But, you know, it all is in good. It's all in God's timing. Like, it is really, truly. I believe that. But looking back, I told you we had to go through that growth. And then what happened? It's funny, this whole experience, I learned exactly how to create things in life. You can call it manifestation, call it designing your life, whatever words you want. But ultimately, it's really getting to that point where you recognize the power of your creation. I say, I just told this to Riley the other day, actually, our mind is the paintbrush of our life. And during that time, this was in 2016, my daughter was a year old. I'd missed her firsts again, my fourth child. Lee and I were sitting in our rocking chairs, and I looked at him and I said, when are we going to stop talking about this dream and actually do it. I was fed up. And he looked at me and then you could just feel the energy shift. Like there was definitely a poignant moment there. And it's like, well, what would it look like to actually take the steps? And Julie, we did it on really blind faith. We started just doing what we could with where we were at. That meant packing up the house, fixing up those little things around, painting this room, and all of those little things that you don't do until you need to sell your house. Mm-hmm. Putting away all the boxes, getting rid of piles and piles of stuff that we've accumulated that we were not going to take with us, making lists of what we would take, all of that, listing the house and going through the motions, essentially. And we didn't have another house set up. We didn't know what we were going to do. We were just going to go. We were going to figure it out one step at a time. Now, one thing that was different is he wanted to build a house. And I was like, no way. Our daughter was a year old. I could see that that was not going to be realistic. So I was praying for a real house, like already built. And one day I saw this house. It was listed at $310,000. That was back when housing prices were reasonable.
They've gone up substantially since.
And so, yeah, I said, I think this house could work for us. It was out of our budget. I think we were pre-approved for around 250, plus or minus a little bit, but not 310. And I said, I think we should look into it though. And we did. And now we ended up buying it sight unseen. I mean, everything we did was really, truly pure faith, right? We made an offer. We negotiated the offer. My husband, being a real estate investor in his past, was not going to pay retail. He's like, I'm offering $240,000. And I was terrified that that wasn't going to work for me. And I had a good friend of mine at the time. She said, Lindsay, when it's meant to be, nobody else will be able to buy that house. It's yours. So I like energetically put my stamp on it, if that makes sense. I was like, this is my house, period. And would you know, we ended up settling at 250. The loan closed within 30 days. It was like everything fell into place. But that took, I would say that was 2016 when we finally decided, and we didn't move until 2018. So that was 2 years, which looking back, 2 years is like a blip, but it felt like eternity. And it felt like it was never going to happen. And we put offers in on other properties that fell through. And when that came up, I would say, oh, well, then I guess it's not meant to be. I used to be one of those people who looked at signs, right? I'm doing the air quotes. Yeah. Because, oh, well, if it doesn't work out, then maybe it's not meant to move. Maybe I should stay at this job. Maybe I should just learn to be happy. And I kept recycling all those old feelings and going back over it. And a lot of life happened in those 2 years. My grandma passed away. My grandfather ended up moving in with us. We had problems with our house. Like we're talking major problems, septic problems, roof leaks. Anything that could have gone wrong, went wrong. Problems with the first realtor. It was just not an easy road. Let's just say that. But it was when I finally decided that no matter what, I was moving and making this life happen, no matter what. And now here's the mental trick I used during this time. I had a nice long commute to work. Everybody loves rush hour. My 25 miles was a 56-minute drive. And on that journey, I would visualize the move and the experience and let myself get into the feeling of moving into my house. And what does it feel like to walk in and actually seeing myself moving my furniture into the house and getting the kids and hearing the animals and smelling the crispness. I mean, just really experiencing Idaho. I had never been to Idaho other than 1 week of a family trip, which we took when we were first thinking of this move. Okay. Mm-hmm. So for me, my mind, remember I said, our mind is the paintbrush of our life. I would get such in a reverie that when I finally had to snap out of it because I was merging traffic or something, do you know that almost every day I saw an Idaho sign? Speaking of signs, like I would look up and there was a sticker, Idaho or Boise State or something from Idaho almost every day. It was actually more normal to see something than to not see something. That is how energetically into this I was, like just into it. I'm sharing that because that happiness, I really, really, really had to focus on creating that joy because my mind wanted me to suck into the misery, right? Like our minds want to pull us down. And I could have cried on the way to work because I felt so stagnant and stuck and frustrated and things weren't moving, or we lost this house, or whatever problem was in the way. I could have made my drive about that, but I didn't. I would literally mentally put it aside like a sticky note, stick it on this wall, because my subconscious wanted to attach itself. Like I could feel it wanting to, I can't let go. It's like holding onto a balloon string. I can't let go of this thought. So I would tell myself, hey, we're not letting go of the thought. You can think about it later. But for now, we're going to put it over here. And I would just mentally put it aside and we're going to think about this. And I would talk out loud. If I was having a really bad day, a really emotionally bad day, I would spin myself up. That's what I would call it. And it would sound like this. Now, I know today you feel like this is never going to happen and there's a chance that it might take a while, but that's okay. I'm here with you and we're going to make this happen eventually. And I would just start low like that. And I would work myself up to, I believe that it's possible that this can happen. I know today I don't see a way. It seems impossible, but that's just because I can't see everything. I know there is a way for this to work out. And I literally would not stop talking like that until I felt better. It sometimes took the whole ride, but it was intentional and I would not let myself get brought down. And when my husband would, he wasn't doing this mindset stuff the way I was doing it. So he was just in his normal daily life. And when things came up and he was talking like most people would through a situation like that, I would actually say to him, I'm sorry, I can't focus on this because it brings me down. I have to stay focused on what is working for me. I trust that this is going to work out. Let's just give it a day or two and see what happens. And I constantly had to manage my, I called it my bubble. I had to manage my bubble. That's the only thing I could do to stay focused and trust that this was going to work out because I really didn't know how it was going to work out. When the loan came through, by the way, in 2007 or eight, somewhere in there, I had foreclosed on a residence, like my personal residence. That's back when they were doing no doc loans. Mm-hmm. I was like 21 or 22, getting financed with a $2,300 mortgage payment on a $5,000 a month salary. That was ridiculous.
Wow.
But I had a boyfriend and I had a best friend and we were going to live together and it was going to work out. And I was desperate for horse property because I always had horses, right? So it was such a mistake. It was so bad. I was so stubborn though. I wouldn't listen to my dad. I was doing it anyway. Well, boyfriend lost his job. Friend decides to move out and I lost the house. I couldn't sell it because I owned it for more than it was worth, right? So it was just that time when everything was falling apart. So when we were looking at getting a second mortgage, oh my stars, I thought, I won't ever qualify. You see, this is what I mean. When I say my situation was not good, I made a lot of money, but my credit wasn't that great. I also wasn't using my credit because I paid off all my debts. So you know that hurts your credit, right? Mm-hmm. Almost worse than having too much debt.
Yeah.
So I was in a bad way and I really didn't think I could actually get this, but it worked out. And when the realtor said, like, just talk to the mortgage person, let's just see what happens. I was like, all right, I guess it can't hurt. And then he came back, he goes, yeah, it looks like we could get you approved for a second loan. My jaw dropped. I was like, for real? He's like, yeah, if you just pay off this one thing, you'll be golden. And it was a miracle. I had no idea how that was going to work out. And I said, well, when I move, I'm not going to have a job. Of course, we're all honest. I said, what do I do? He said, just tell him it's a second home because I had a full-time job. I said, oh, okay. Like, see, I wouldn't have thought of these things. And that's kind of what I'm trying to say is sometimes we don't have all the answers, but when we put the faith out there and we just keep that non-negotiable decision in our heart, and keep taking what we do know, the next step we do know, every day we get a little closer. It's like a puzzle. Every day the puzzle gets a little more clear and the next step becomes clear. So it's okay if we don't have all the answers today.
You said so many things and I'm like, I don't want to interrupt. I used to be a really good interrupter. Go back several episodes if you haven't heard them, Conscious Investor. But what you're talking about, so many of these things like pulling the dream off the shelf, like so many of you are pulling the dream off the shelf and it doesn't have to be a dream. It can be the reality. And I thought that's interesting how you're talking about giving power to your husband. And that could be to so many other people, Conscious Investor. So you may be giving it to your spouse or partner. You may be giving it to your career. You might be giving power to your children. Sounds weird, but we're in an era where children are very much idolized, for lack of a better word, right? They're very much pursued. And so we need to always be evaluating where is our power going? Who are we empowering? And are we empowering ourselves to make the best decisions, right? These things really matter. And that concept, Lindsay, of saying like, take tiny steps, like you're talking about, well, we just started painting the house and we just started clearing the house out. And that's something that you, conscious investor, can start doing right now. If you're interested in getting involved with real estate investing, well, then let's look at our finances. Let's look at where we could maybe pool some money over here. Let's look at that self-directed 401k or solo 401k. Let's look at these options. Just taking little steps to start getting yourself acquainted. But all of those things, no matter what it is that you're looking to pursue, you need to take just that tiny step. And just like we always say from the book, The Alchemist, right? And Ryan Holiday's book, so often, courage is rewarded, and just to take the next step. So I'm loving the trajectory of this, Lindsay. It's just so powerful to hear your story. And it resonates because most people feel caged. They feel trapped and they feel that, how am I going to get out of this situation? So if you don't mind, let's fast forward a little bit. And over the last 2-3 years, by the way, let me just make a funny here. That just reminds me of Charlie Behrens over on YouTube, Two Tree Beers. So if you are listening, just go YouTube it. You'll laugh. He's hilarious. But anyhow, over the last couple of years, you've left your job. You've drawn lines in the sand. And then you've actually gone back part-time. You've done a lot of pivoting over the last couple of years. And I think a lot of people feel, well, if I make this decision, then it has to be all that way. If I leave my job, then I have to leave my job and I can't go back and I can't do anything else. And I know you're listening to this, conscious investor. It stung a little bit because that's where you're at. You think it has to be one way. One thing I always remind myself, well, if all else goes to pieces, like I have a background in education, I have things I can fall back on, right? And so we all have these skill sets to fall back on if we need or want to bring some of that back into our life in a capacity. So can you tell us a little bit about the evolution of how you've gotten to where you are and what you're doing now?
So it's interesting that you said that, Julie, because I had tried to leave the car business at least 3 times before we moved. I don't think you know that. And every time when I would go back, because that's one nice thing about the car business is you could pretty much get a job anywhere, right? Down the road, Motors is always hiring. That's what they say. I deliberately was excited about moving here because like the nearest major car dealership was in like 1.5 hours away. So I was like, yes, I can't get a car.
That's so true.
But every time I left, I felt like a failure. And so when I came up here and I was so convinced I wasn't going to go back, actually, the first year we lived off of some of our equity. And I will say, I actually experienced like a PTSD from that transition of working such a stressful job to not working. I needed that time to recoup and rediscover myself. And I think this is what really has hung up a lot of this for me and finding what I'm wanting is because I've been working for so long, my identity has been, I'm a salesperson, I'm a marketer. That is not who I am. And it's not my purpose in life, but not knowing what that is has left this big question mark in my heart, right? And so every day I'm like on this journey of self-discovery, which we all are, but it's so much more exciting when you feel like you're doing something you're made for, right?
But I don't know that everybody's on a journey to self-discovery. I think a lot of people are still trapped. It's almost like the butterfly just in the cocoon or in hibernation, something in hibernation where it's not awakened yet. And by nature of the choices you were willing to make, it allowed that awakening to where you could even start to pursue who you are.
Yes. Well, in my opinion, that's part of the journey is that discomfort. Because if we don't have that, then we're never going to seek anything different, which means we probably are living our purpose. I think if we're content and we're satisfied, then that's okay. We don't all have to leave a job. I mean, clearly people are happy working and that's great for those people. But I know there's a lot of people who are doing it because that's what we know how to do. We graduate high school, we get a job and that's it. And we think and we look around and we're like, man, there sure are a lot of other people who are experiencing a really cool life and they're making money and they're not working as hard as I am. And I wonder how they're doing it. And that's what I wondered. That's actually why I started my podcast, because I was curious and I wanted to talk to really smart people like you. I wanted to learn. I wanted to bring that into my wheelhouse because I wanted that experience. But again, I didn't know how. And so when we moved after that first year, money started to get tight. And so it was like, okay, we didn't come here with a plan. So I ended up working again. And interestingly enough, I found an amazing company. So 180 from the car business. It's like where it was super stressful here, it's super laid back, where everything's very high politically. Like, you know, you have to be very careful about everybody you say and inclusive and managing and all that jazz. This is so family oriented. Like, it was night and day difference. 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. Your kids have a problem, leave. It was just simple. And I actually thought, oh, I could be happy here. I almost think I could make this my retirement. Like, I could live here. I actually thought that. And I got bored. And I think for me, and that's why I did so well in the car business, because I could like do everything. I just moved around and learned all kinds of things. But for me, I got bored and I thought there's got to be more to this than this. And yet also I remembered that dream of homesteading and living off the land and making jam in the middle of the week and just all those things that were important to me. And I wasn't doing them. And it's interesting how we almost can recreate the life we had, even in a different location. I call it the pendulum effect. I don't know if that's actually what people call it, but it's kind of how I depicted it. It seems like imagine a pendulum. This is our comfort zone. And say we're creating a new normal for ourselves, right? We often will like swing one direction really far. And this could be everything. This could be like, say you want to change a habit. You want to start exercising. You're hitting the gym every day. You're working hard. And then you slow down, maybe get off the wagon for a while. And then you get back on and you go back and forth until eventually you find almost like a homeostasis, like another comfort zone. And that's what I was doing. I had brought that threshold of busy back into my life because it was a subconscious way of living that my brain and my body was used to. So here I was working again, dropping the kids off in the morning, trying to meet with them for lunch, trying to get things done on my lunch hour, rushing to the store after work. Now I only have the weekends to do laundry. All of those things that I was doing back in Arizona in a new place, but in a really nice job. It's like, it was so bizarre. I created an even nicer job, like life for myself, yet with the same not nice things that I was wanting to get away from, if that makes sense.
It really does. I always say, like, whoever you are, your geography will never change your circumstances. Because it's you. The circumstances are within us. And sometimes we want to transition geography. Maybe it's moving a kid from one school to another, or moving cities or moving blocks, whatever it is. Like, no, you got to do the work within yourself.
Yeah. And see, for me, I call it like evolving a worker bee mindset. So working for somebody else, it's a mindset. And if you're even working for somebody like Conscious Investor, if you're working for somebody and you're wishing that you weren't, right? You were working for yourself. I encourage you to imagine or spend time daily imagining what it would be like to work for yourself and actually let yourself imagine. Okay. So for example, let me give you an example. The other day I was in the kitchen and I had nothing to do. I had no thing on my calendar. And I thought, oh, this must be what it feels like to be a passive investor. I have no thing on my schedule and I can know that money is coming in and I am safe and secure. Allowing myself into that space of relaxation and safety, because isn't that what our jobs are providing us, is safety? It's not about the money, it's the safety. And when we think about investing in passive income and we go through the journey of leaving our 9 to 5, it actually takes effort to change our mind to realize that it's okay not to work. And that's what my journey really has been about, is slowly evolving myself to the point where I am okay not having something on my schedule.
It's amazing. It's an amazing experience. Like, oh, I can do whatever I want.
Yes.
Wow.
It is. Robert Kiyosaki talked about that when he sold his Velcro or his wallet business. He was going to take a year off and he's like, I didn't know what to do with myself. And I'm telling you, that is a real experience. And you can start now creating that lifestyle by when you're driving to work. Just imagine if you got to work and you recognize that in that 1 hour, you just earned $100 just because your investments made money for you. And literally feel the feeling of that safety and security, knowing that you're earning money while driving, mm-hmm. while playing with your kids, while you do the laundry. Doesn't matter. You have that in your mind as you go through your day, and you actually create more of that.
I love that. We've been talking a lot in our home about vertical income and horizontal income. This could be a very good, especially with this conversation, for you, conscious investor, to really think about. Vertical income is like you get paid by the hour, you get a salary, whatever it is. It's the work that you are doing that you have to do that work in order to be compensated. But that horizontal income is all the passive income that you've created and generated. And obviously, we want to create a strong horizontal income stream, multiple income streams, and then have diminished, like just like reduce our vertical income stream. So really, that might be a mindset shift or a mental tool that can help you as you're evaluating that.
Yes, it's so true. So that's essentially been my journey. When it came to back to the non-negotiable, it's funny how, even though, as I said before, created this log cabin in the woods, right? Like that, all things seemed magical. Like it happened because my mind was so intentional. I literally created that. It's interesting how we can go through an experience like that and then forget that we know how to do that. And after I was working again and I was leading up, this is when you and I really started to connect and we were meeting for coffee on a regular basis. And I was working, but I wanted to build this business outside of work. And again, I got that fear. All those same things that I went through the first time I left my corporate job were resurfacing. But this time I also had this dynamic of it's a small town. Everybody knows everybody. I could really be hurting them because it's hard to find people here. This extra guilt factor that was really just a farce, but right. We all do such a good job of telling ourselves these things. Anyway, I finally made a point to, no matter what, quit. And COVID really helped me make that decision, because this is when Riley was in your classroom and COVID happened and I was working full time and then homeschooling at night and doing the weekend stuff. And it was a disaster. And I wanted to homeschool the kids. I said, this is what I wanted. I wanted to homeschool the kids. I have to do this. And so I registered my kids for an online school and I told my boss, I did this. I said, I have to homeschool my kids. I would love to stay working with you, but I'd like to do it from home and I'd like to work part-time. And I gave them the option of kind of being creative with me, being that it's a small town. They had that choice and they didn't want to take me up on that offer. So for their company, I was in charge of marketing. I was in charge of sales and I was their office manager. It's a small town. So that was easy for me with my background. And they wanted just the office manager. The marketing wasn't as significant to them as everything else that I did. And they point blank said, your worth is in the office manager. If you can't do that here, then we're going to have to find somebody else. And I said, okay. Again, scared out of my mind, because I was like, oh, SHIT, that's only giving me like 30 days to figure something out. I remember I was so stressed at that time. I think I literally remember one day, this whole side of my face was numb from like teeth clenching. It was so intense. It's scary to make this transition. But again, I was like, this is a non-negotiable. I had already registered my kids. I'd already gotten everything together. This was happening. I was going to figure it out no matter what. And I did. I ended up leaving. Their first person they replaced me with didn't work out. So I ended up having to go back part-time. Now they were all of a sudden amenable to working with me. That means they were letting me come after school. I could work like 3 to 6. I think I was working 3 to 6. I was working weekends if I wanted to or not. I mean, I was getting everything done in those 3 hours because I was just doing their accounting, still working with the kids during the day. And I was creating this life for myself that I felt was very balanced, because I had a lot of the mommy duties that I wanted. And then I was still satisfying my brain. I learned through this process that I am not a Susie homemaker after all. I do like to work because it's fun for me, and that's okay.
Yes.
But I want to work on things that generate passive income, because that is, like you said, it's spreading out my time is so much more fruitful than if I just work up the ladder. Anyway, so it's interesting how God works. I was coming to a point, this is actually a funny story. I don't even think you know this. I was coming to a point where I was kind of getting annoyed with the schedule. It was becoming a nuisance to drive in just for 3 hours. I could have done it at home. And I could tell my energy was starting to like wane. Like I wasn't into it like I was before. Meanwhile, I really wanted to do marketing. That's what I love to do. And I love doing it for this company. Well, I was at the bank one day, and this is why working in a small town is funny. It's like the way it works in a small town. So the banker turns around and she goes, Lindsay, you really ought to be back over there at that Lugcombe company. They really need somebody in accounting. And I looked at her and I said, I am working there. Are they hiring? And they had been hiring. They had put feelers out and never told me. And I felt so upset. It's funny because this whole story has a happy ending though. So just bear with me. It's just an interesting story. So here I was, remodeled my entire life for them because their person didn't work out. And I went back, I remodeled everything. And they straight up said, are you going to be committed? And I said, yes. And so they asked me for a commitment. I assumed a commitment on their end, right? So when I found out they were looking for somebody, I was furious, not listening to that inner voice that was telling me I was kind of done anyway, and being grateful that this was perfect timing. Oh no. I was like, how dare they? This is not okay. So I confronted them. I went to the manager and I said, so are you hiring somebody? He goes, yeah, I thought you knew. I said, no, I thought you wanted me full time. You asked me if I'm committed. He goes, yeah. Well, they had all had a meeting apparently and decided that they wanted me to do their marketing. After I came back to do accounting, apparently they were like, well, we really do need somebody to do marketing. Maybe we should hire somebody. And then they all laughed and said, we should just have Lindsay do it. And we need to find somebody for accounting. But they never told me. So when I find out through this third party,
this is like, small town communication. This is small town business and small town communication, yes, for sure.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyway, that's a little bunny trail, but it was perfect timing because I admitted to myself, I'm like, yeah, I'm really kind of ready to move on. And as it turns out, they became my client and I started my marketing firm.
Wow. It's just like that perfect springboard right there. Golly, Lindsay, I want to go on. I'm looking at the time and I'm like, oh, this is so meaty and so critical and so juicy. But here's the thing, conscious investor, if you are loving what you're hearing from Lindsay, and I'm sure you are because she's another mindset guru, you're going to love her podcast. And so now you have a chance. You've met Lindsay. Now you have a chance to go over to the Passive Income Examiner, can speak correctly, and you can binge on her podcast as well. And you can leave her honest rating and review so that you're supporting her podcast as well. But I know from listening to her podcast, she has amazing guests. Some of them have actually come onto the Conscious Investor podcast because Lindsay's referred them this way. Some of the episodes are also just solo episodes with Lindsay working through some mindset, or she has this whole entire, well, it is a system on micro business, right? I said that correctly. So you can go and you can learn about micro businesses and how that can support your horizontal income, right? So many other things where this is just in tandem kind of podcast to the conscious investor, right? Sure. I focus on mindset and I also focus on real estate investing, but Lindsay's taking it another direction. And so we do in a really good real estate transaction is I'm going to leave some meat on the bones here. And I feel like I'm leaving this conversation a little abruptly, but I'm also handing you a silver platter with a whole feast of everything amazing to go feast upon. Okay. So a little bit abrupt, but then also silver platter, here you go. You need to go check out the Passive Income Examiner. Lindsay, I am just absolutely grateful to have you on the show. And I've just enjoyed every moment. It's just, you have a wonderful way of articulating things. I was absolutely loving the dream off the shelf. And conscious investor, like, make sure you are pulling your, don't leave your dream on the shelf. Pull it off the shelf, hold it close to you. Feel the feelings. Those emotions are really critical for you in moving forward and progressing in bringing that to reality. So how else can they get in touch with you? You have a lot to offer.
Well, my website is passiveincomeexaminer.com. So that's an easy one. And the podcast, and that's basically, oh, well, there is one little thing. I'd like to give everybody a gift if they're interested. If you're interested in discovering ways to earn passive income, I've created a free download for you. It's 5 ways to earn $5,000 a month with passive income. And it breaks down the numbers and various ideas. Plus it connects you with experts in those industries. So you can kind of get into their space and learn more. So if you'd like access to that, you can simply text the word PIE, P-I-E, to 33777 and get your copy.
That is really cool. Now I'm going to have to figure out how to do something like that. Sounds like I have a little homework also. Lindsay, thanks again for joining us on The Conscious Investor.
My pleasure.
And to you, amazing conscious investors, thank you. Thank you for listening. I know that this is speaking your language and it's resonating with you. And so please make sure you leave an honest rating and review, and please make sure you share this, because this type of content is a content that helps people around you that you care about. This type of content helps them make those what feel like daring, bold moves. Okay, so we want to support each other in doing that. You are amazing. And until next time, please remember, I was just going to pause out there, I guess. I don't know. I was split. That was really great. I was split, you guys. I was split between, do I want to go with adventure or straight to the end? But we're going to go with adventure, because this has been an adventurous episode and I just gapped out for a moment. And remember, always laugh at yourself. It's not a big deal. Some of you are get nervous on Zoom calls. Not a big deal. But remember that adventure belongs on the trail, not in your investing and not in your personal life. And so if you're feeling like your investments are maybe a little too volatile for you, or in your personal life, you need some personal growth and development to improve, like so that you have that strength within to take that next step, please make sure you reach out. Head over to the Three Keys website, schedule a time to talk with me. We can either talk real estate investing so we can learn to see if we're a right fit for each other in supporting you and taking your investments to the next level. Or if you're looking for a coach to support you, I do have a spot available. I don't always have a spot available. And so we can see if that's the right fit. But I will tell you, dang, my clients are leveling up and it's awesome. So highly encourage you, if you're looking at leveling up on that personal development side, high performance coaching will take you there. So make sure you go schedule a time over on 3keysinvestments.com. Until next time, live big, love bigger. Are you enjoying this episode? Where would your life be without content like this? Help spread the word by sharing on your social platforms. And please tag me, Happy Julie Holly.